The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, how are you this afternoon?
Good, thanks, and yourself?
I am most well, can't wait to get stuck in because there is a lot happening in the Middle East, as there always is. Maybe today we start talking about the issue of vaccination of Palestinians with COVID, anti-COVID vaccines, Rolene.
Let's talk there, but I am very, very happy to report that at least 70% of Israelis over the age of 16 have been vaccinated, at least with one vaccine. Hope, you know, come on, feel the noise, people. It's awesome.
Ro, but, I have to ask you something on that issue. It's an issue that I was hoping to raise, and I haven't had time so far today. But social media gone wild with an American. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Perhaps you do, Michael Shea.
We spoke, I think maybe Howard covered it yesterday.
But I've definitely
been speaking about it.
Have you weighed in?
A lot over the last couple of days. Michael Shea, one of the hosts of Saturday Night Live. I think some of you may be familiar with the skit show SNL. He did a skit about Israel vaccinating half of its citizens, and he said must be the Jewish half. Now, I do want to touch on that because it does bring up a lot of ugly stereotypes. First of all, it's not the truth. Israel has been vaccinating all of our citizens. Anyone who is eligible is more than welcome to come and get a vaccine. People who are not being vaccinated are not being vaccinated out of their own choice. It's not mandatory to be vaccinated, but everybody is encouraged and welcome. In fact, there have been concerted efforts to get the members of the Arab Society, members of the ultra-Orthodox Haredi Society to be vaccinated. So that, first of all, is a load of baloney. I was going to use another word, but we are family-friendly radio.
Sure.
The other issue is that it goes back to a medieval stereotype, and we're very sensitive to it at the moment because this has been throughout our history. It's a medieval stereotype that either we have caused the plague, the pandemic, the disease, the whatever, or we must know something everybody else doesn't know because we have the cure. So that's why it is particularly bothersome. So the AJC, the American Joint Committee, they've put out a petition. Our government's weighed in. Gilad Erdan, who serves as our ambassador to the UN and also to the United States, as well as our health minister, they've all weighed in calling it anti-Semitic, because it is. I don't blame Michael Shea, but I do blame the writers of SNL. They should know better. And they've received, I think, about 5,000 letters to date asking for an apology. But the best one for me has been Youssef Haddad. Many of you will be familiar with him. He has come out to South Africa before, he's speaking from the Arab perspective, sharing pictures of him being vaccinated. So before we have any finger pointing by SNL, they might want to check that out. But also just to update you that Hamas has started their vaccine rollout in the Gaza Strip, and Israel announcing earlier today that not only will we start vaccinating residents of East Jerusalem over the Green Line, who can come to Kalandia Crossing, there is a clinic there for vaccination, but we have sent an undisclosed amount of vaccines into the West Bank. So I just want to know, I'm just hoping those of you out there who have a lot to say, you know who I'm talking to, I hope you paid very close attention to that.
Okay, let's move on to discussions between Blinken and Ashkenazi. Apparently two-state solution, quite a high profile.
Well, I think that there's a bromance brewing between these two because they're speaking a lot. They're showing the love for each other on Twitter. You know, they've spoken, shocked by over the phone several amounts of time. Yeah, you know I'm going to get that in there because it was referred to in last week's phone conversation. But amongst the many things that they've been discussing and they've been talking about, you know, regional issues, pandemic issues, of course, Iran very high on the agenda. Blinken reiterating unwavering support for Israel's security. I thought I heard a Hardy Dar there for a second. Haven't heard one of those in a while.
You did.
but one of the key items on the agenda between the two foreign ministers was the issue of a two-state solution. And I think it's important we talk about it because there seems to be a bit of panic with a regime change or an administration change, depending on how you want to look at it. And people think that, you know, talking about a two-state solution is maybe going back to previous administrations. Well, I just want to reiterate that the previous administration, the Trump administration, were in favor of a two-state solution. They had maybe a more creative way of approaching it, which broke from the traditional way that previous administrations before that have approached it. So the Biden administration, for the moment, we don't know yet what their plans are. We don't know if they will take elements from the Trump peace plan, which was very, very rational and very much a bottom-up approach, a more business-like approach, if they'll take elements of that and adapt it. But to support a two-state solution from the U.S. government is not a departure in policy at all.
Leader of Iran, Khamenei, calling Bibi a Zionist clown. Wow, that's not very diplomatic.
Well, he referred to a Zionist clown. You know, maybe okay. We shouldn't be jumping to conclusions and assuming that it's Bibi. I mean, he could have meant me, I don't know. But the Ayatollah Al Khamenei, who's allowed to tweet at absolute random whatever he wants. I'm just saying that, Jack Dorsey, you know, we're just wondering. But yesterday, taking to Twitter to say that should Iran want a nuke, nobody, not even the Zionist clown. I mean, it couldn't even be you, Simon, that he's referring to, but he referred to Zionist clown in the singular. He said, will not stop us. And he said, you know, it's not our intention to have a nuclear weapon, which I find quite interesting considering that earlier today, Iran announced that they will be starting new restrictions on allowing the UN nuclear inspectors to come into the country. I don't know. Could they be hiding something? You know, maybe I should ask that Zionist clown.
They're certainly playing a very strong hand in any future negotiation. That seems certainly part of their plan. Let's move over to this bizarre story that I can't get my head around about this woman who wandered into Syria. Still don't understand it. Still don't understand whether Israel is buying vaccines, not buying vaccines. Weird story, this one.
Okay, so there were rumors yesterday that Israel paid about $1 million for Sputnik vaccines to go into Syria. The government is adamant that we are not providing Syria with vaccines. If any vaccines are going into Syria, it will be via Russia, and Russia will be putting or sending the vaccines into Syria. So let's just quash that rumor while we're at it. But yes, it's a very, very strange story. It's 23-year-old woman from Modi Inilit happened to wander through the border into Syria last week, was the official line. And very interesting and cleared for publication was the fact that IDF soldiers were cleared of any wrongdoing. You know, of course, being a army in a democracy and having to sit and, you know, face consequences should something like that have come from the army, they were cleared. But what we do know is that this is not the first time that she has tried to cross the border of somewhere. She has been caught before trying to get into Gaza. She was caught now into Syria, causing quite an incident, very, very delicate issue there, because Syria is an enemy entity, as is Gaza. But I think we also have to understand that maybe we are dealing with somebody who may have issues. From her perspective, she's saying nobody is going to keep her, no borders can keep her out of anywhere. But I think that this is a very, very delicate situation, and whatever information we're going to get is going to be very, very careful and sensitive.
We're out of time, but there's something that I just have to ask you. It's been on my mind for the past 24 hours or so. I've been reading a lot of press over the past couple of days, and I seem to be ascertaining and feeling that the knives are out for MBS, Mohammed bin Salman. It seems like the Khashoggi murder is coming to the fore again. And what concerns me is, listen, the man is no angel, clearly, but he seemed so very instrumental in the Abraham Accords, i.e. his allowing them to continue. Are you discerning a similar – are the knives out for MBS? I suppose that's my question.
I think whenever we see an administration change in the United States, people are going to push their luck somewhere. We're seeing it with Iran. Until, you know, we get a clear indication of what they want to put into a nuclear treaty from the European and the American side, we're going to see Iran, as you said earlier, playing their hand. I think now with regards to the Saudis, because it's very unclear right now where the Biden administration may be going. They say they want to strengthen ties with the Saudis. You know, there's obviously those elements that are going to use this opportunity to try and maneuver while things are still trying to settle. So it could be opportunistic. I think there's always going to be knives out for somebody of the stature, and also because given the crime, I mean, we cannot detract from the crime that it was.
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, this is we're in the realm of news, and it's never ever a dull place.
That's for sure, Rolene. I had no right to answer that question. I'm late. But thank you so very much, as always. Hugely appreciated.
As long as you're not late for our very important date.
Important date.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.